Welcome to the Rising Feminine Collective podcast. I'm your host, Nina Petruzzo, and I'm so honored that you're here. This is a sacred space to inspire, elevate, and amplify your life, your business, your relationships, and your gifts. Hi, love. Welcome back to the Rising Feminine Collective podcast. I'm your host, Nina, and I am so excited to share another inspiring and expansive conversation with you all today. Inside of this episode, I sat down with my dear friend and sister, Ginger Kern, and Ginger is a guide for women drawn to the path of the devotional feminine and sacred union. She helps women anchor their mature feminine through dissolving victim triangle dynamics and cultivating right relationship to men in the masculine. Her work centers on helping women reconnect to their innate sources of power and discernment, restoring their own rightful oracular nature. And we dove into so many pathways within this conversation. We explored the feminine archetypes, the heart of longing and yearning without attaching neediness and entitlement to those things. We really dove into navigating grief and healing from trauma and loss. And we went into unlocking the oracular potency and wisdom of the womb. This conversation was so beautiful. And I just know and so trust that it's going to bless so many of you listening. And as always, if this conversation has impacted you in any way, we encourage you to share this conversation with other women that you feel may benefit. And of course, we always appreciate your love on the podcast by sharing a rating or a review of how this collective space has personally impacted you and your journey. It is like the deepest appreciation and gratitude that I have when you take the time to do that. And upcoming inside of Way of Grace, we're now in the winter season, which is still wild to believe. I'm going to say it every single time. And I'm recording this right now in December, so I'm still in the cocoon of winter and thinking about emerging from that cocoon. It feels really exciting and invigorating in many ways. But right now inside of our space, we have one-on-one mentorship open, and that is a 4 or 6 month devotional and dissension journey into the body, heart, and womb. And you can explore all the details for that through the link below. And we have some exciting collaborations and co-creations coming up. So stay tuned, keep your eyes open and your ears open for what will be announced in the near future for the spring. And we love hearing your reflections. So just know that you can always pop me a message over on Instagram, and I'm sure Ginger would love to hear your reflections from this conversation as well. And you can connect with her through all of the links below in the show notes. So sit back, grab your favorite beverage, and enjoy this beautiful conversation with us. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Rising Feminine Collective podcast. And as mentioned in the intro, I am so excited because I'm sitting here with my dear friend, Ginger Kern, and we're just about to dive into what I know is going to be a really fun and juicy and expansive conversation, one that I think many of you have been yearning for in many ways as we dive into the heart and really coming deeper into our feminine essence through the body, through the heart, through our yearning, through the deeper conversation around polarity. And, you know, Ginger is just someone that I admire so much in this space. And I'm so grateful to know her. And we got to meet in person for the first time a couple of weeks ago and spend time together just over this past weekend. So it's been such a blessing to have sisters that are really walking, you know, in devotion to this path of the feminine. And yeah, Ginger, I'm just so, so happy that you're here and would love to hear what is alive on your heart today.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here. Yeah, there's so even just in hearing the name of your podcast, I immediately feel things. I'm such a feeler. You and I were talking about this on our hike. We're both very, very emotional creatures, yes. Emotional manifestors, if you look at the human design lens. So frankly, what's alive right now for me, and this is also just from some messages I recently received, is this broader, deeper, wider womb space that we are all co-weaving together. It's insanely potent. It's not like something that I've ever been a part of before this year in particular. And I really hope that today's conversation can be a sort of invitation or a portal or a draw into this deep, magnetic, dark pool of like primordial wisdom. So that's, I like feel that in my body. And I just want to share that with people today. So yes. Super excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. I feel that so deeply. And yeah, we were blessed to be able to talk and walk and be out in nature, you know, just the other day. And we were both expressing, and many of you know, because I've shared this on the podcast, like my own personal prayer for deep sisterhood and communion and community with other women who are really devoted to what I feel is a really unique flavor and essence of the feminine path, like not, you know, kind of like way over in feminine empowerment, which is kind of where I was for a while, or also like in strict kind of traditional femininity. Like there's not that there's anything wrong with those two arenas, but there's just a really unique path that I'm seeing shaped by women right now. And I've really felt so blessed by the women that God has connected me with over the last year, you know, you being one of them, Ginger, of women that I feel are really in the deep embodiment of the womb, of the weaving that's happening. And it feels so big and it's so beautiful. And it's still in many ways, such a mystery to me, like how it's all coming together. Right. But I also feel so convicted and like each of us and all of you listening are part of this with us, you know, each of us, you know, weaving a tapestry here and like weaving the web together and bringing our own unique flavor and essence and frequency to the web so that it can really be as vital and vibrant as it's meant to be. And Ginger, I really love and appreciate what you bring into the web. And I'm just so excited to have the listeners hear a little bit more of, yeah, your flavor and what's been arising from your womb. And what I think is really, really cool about you, Ginger, and we were literally just talking about this a second ago, and it was actually something that I kind of forgot, because you do just, I feel, embody your feminine essence, your feminine energy, your femininity, like so beautifully that I forget that you have a more quote unquote traditional job and actually like a really more structured life that your feminine essence exists in. And even, you know, before you go there, I would love to just hear like some of your own journey of like really awakening to your femininity, because I know a little bit of it because we've had conversation, but really kind of moving into deeper levels of embodiment of your own feminine essence. And also, yeah, how you maintain your feminine essence as you're meeting yourself in these different parts of your life that some would say are more masculine or more contained and structured.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the feminine loves containment and structure. Right. So like we rebel against it to an extent, but if we're talking, you know, archetypal femininity, the feminine loves containment, right? Ask any woman who enjoys lying underneath a weighted blanket or being super tightly squeezed by a lover, etc. Like we like containment, we like structure. Now, speaking of my journey, so I was actually just last night reviewing some of my old journals from this annual journaling review process that I do at the end of the year with friends, usually with a bunch of women, actually. And I have these journals going back to 2014, the same structure every year. So there you go again, structure.
Yeah, love it.
But of course, the dance inside of that is quite different. So you asked about my journey. It was just so funny. I had to laugh at myself and cry at myself. And I sent myself back so much love. And just, you know, energetically sent myself at the time so much love, because, you know, who I was at that time, 2014, 2015, 2016, I was very much in the entrepreneurial boss babe culture. And again, you know, in its positive expression, it is absolutely like such a fiery, beautiful, potent energy that catalyzes a lot of goodness in the world. I really do feel that. And I could also just see kind of reading my own words, like, oh, little Ginger, like there you go, kind of using your mind first and not actually trusting your body. Like, yeah, that's cute. So I just had a nice laugh at myself. And yeah, and there were some moments in there that just stood out to me in terms of seeing my relationship at the time and kind of seeing touch points year by year, reviewing those different years and noticing where I was just barely starting to like really deepen into my essence, like come back home to my essence, yeah, and not cover it or not put it in the background. And that was really starting to come online for me around 2017. So not so long ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, speaking of the journey, I think, you know, we were talking about this on our hike, like all of these possible pathways, they sort of actually do eventually funnel us into the same direction. And in my personal belief system, that may happen over many, many lifetimes, but it's the same funnel. And that's because we're really all in this sort of web of primordial energetics that we can't escape from. They're just there, and we can try, we can rebel, we can contort ourselves and do all these things. But at the end of the day, we're eventually going to come more and more into integration with ourselves, with our essence, with our core, coming home to our cores. So that's a little bit, of background. But I'm just so excited for the rest of this conversation today. You and I we can just go anywhere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ginger and I are both emotional manifestors. We were laughing at that the other day, 'cause we're just like, oh my gosh. And when we were chatting about our journeys there, it was so funny, 'cause it's like, there is so many differences, but so many parallels. And I don't know what it is about 2017. That was a huge portal. Anyway, and Ginger and I are the same age. So I don't know if you're 34 and you like, 2017 was your like beginning of a massive unravel and awakening. Like for me, that was so for sure. And I would love to hear, Ginger, like even how you feel your feminine essence and like what your version of, you know, and femininity itself, I feel like is just like the top layer of like, you know, the more external part of the essence of the feminine that to me is like the thing that burns and beats deep, deep, deep from that more primordial place within. But I would love for you to give, yeah, your texture to that, what that means to you, what that feels like when you're really in the embodiment of that. And then, yeah, like how you maintain the essence of that when you're meeting these different areas of your life that are, you know, ultimately providing different containers for you to exist in.
Yeah. So I want to kind of slow this way down, only because the question itself, the first question, what do I experience my femininity as? Anything that I say right now is going to be coming through language. And that in and of itself is a step away from the thing itself. And I am really going to try to communicate from this like inner place. I really feel it in my body. And I think, you know, that's what it means to me, my core or my essence is this deep sensitivity. I am like incredibly sensitive. And I don't mean that in the sense of like, I am a quote unquote highly sensitive person, not an HSP, that sort of vibe, but it's this deep listening and sensing and constant receptivity. If I'm actually present with the thing that's lifing me at this moment, I just like feel so much.
Yeah.
And it's this like deep, open, wide space that just senses everything all at once. And that's it. I mean, I'm trying to put a massive energetic into words, and of course it will always fall short, but I hope that at least gives kind of the direction or the sort of foundational texture of what it means to me. And you know, from there, from that place, like, to be honest, I'm not always in that space. I don't think it's possible to always be in that space, nor necessarily healthy. And I think that's where we can have more of a conversation around integration and, you know, these different energetics that flow through each of us in varying proportions, let's say. But I mean, I'm a deeply feminine woman. I'm also like a woman. I am a woman. I have a womb. I have an energetic, physical, biological place within my body and my physiology that holds space and can hold life and can literally, like, is a literal portal for life into yes. this planet. Like, all of those pieces are very tangible. They're very, like, physical, physiological, and they're energetic as well, of course. Yeah. So for me, that's really what it means. If I were to sum it up, I mean,
Yeah. I really love that you brought it there, because I've been thinking about this a lot, and I definitely, I'm such a language person. Like, I love the dance of language in many ways, but then, like you said, it's so limiting. And really when we talk about the feminine, it really lives in the realm of the unseen, and really, like,
exactly
the indescribable,
the indescribable, yeah. the non-language based, non-brain based yes. felt sense of everything that cannot be spoken
exactly.
of.
It's such a feeling, and that's why it is so hard to describe, because it's like you can't intellectualize this. It's truly something that has to be felt. And I love that you just, like, started it with, like, slowing down, just like slowing down, because I feel like that kind of is the path and the medicine to the feminine herself, is really, like, we have to slow down enough to be able to listen. And, like, when we're moving so fast and in an urgent state and just kind of in the conditioning that I think many of us have been programmed into, of just, like, doing more and reaching further and going higher and all the things, it's like we've forgotten how medicinal the stillness is and the slowness and the spaciousness, and, like, that's really the space that the wisdom and the innovation and the creativity and the beauty arises from. And to me, really, that space of the void is, like, the most feminine space to be, right?
There
it's
you go.
like yeah that vast
there you go
darkness, like, of yes. the non-liminal, and so I really love the way you express that. And I love that you really shared too, that this isn't something that you have to feel, you need to embody 100% of the time. And
because what would that be? That would be yet another structure, wouldn't it?
Yep.
That would be yet another ideal, yet another rule, yet another concept that is just not reality. It's not in touch with the truth of things.
Yes. And I think a lot of women, even myself, I've caught myself, like, thinking, like, oh, this is something I should be all the time. And, like, trying to, like, you know, be in this feminine expression and essence. Mm-hmm. But, and this is where I feel like you have a really beautiful and unique perspective too on polarity, and just, like, what it kind of means to dance, like, within, you know, the energy of the feminine, as she also co-creates mm-hmm. with the masculine, and, like, yeah, just what that personally feels like and looks like for you, and really just anything that you want to bring into that piece. Cause I feel we haven't really broken down polarity in a while here, you know, in this space. And I really love and appreciate the way different people really describe this dance and, like, really bring their own texture into this. Cause I think, again, it's so multi-layered and multifaceted that people relate to it in different ways, and it lands in different ways for different people. The more there is conversation for it.
You know, I was chuckling because you used the word dance just 3 times there. And of course you've been in my Zouk classes now for a couple of times. So Brazilian Zouk, for anyone who's listening, is a style of partner dance that Nina is new to, and she's loving it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And we can go into why you love it, because it's directly parallel to everything else that we're going to be talking about today. It is the somatic embodied experience of all of the words, right?
Totally.
So I can talk about polarity from even that lens just to start, because I think it's sort of a fun segue. And it also kind of opens up the conversation of, you know, of course you have a section of, let's say, our Instagram community, or the community in general, is going to be very, very, like, rigidly set in, you know, gender roles /, like, sex correlating to masculinity and femininity. And, like, that's that, end of story. Totally respect that. I actually do respect that, because I feel it's a really important part of the journey to fully ground and sort of sink one's teeth and body into the sort of consummate expression of one of the poles. Like, I actually feel like that's a really important step in the journey, especially if someone has been rebelling against it for a while, or, like, we have in this sort of overarching societal culture at the moment, we have this narrative that it's, you know, wrong to be super, super masculine. For instance. So setting all of that aside for a moment, just recognizing that I personally feel like that's actually quite valid. And in this conversation for today, like when I feel into what polarity feels like as it runs through my system, especially in the dance context, there is me as a dancer when I am holding the I guess container is sort of a buzzword nowadays, but holding the frame.
Yeah.
That's a very, you know, dancer word to use.
Totally.
I'll have a strong frame to be able to initiate and give invitations to the receptive partner.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that partner has to always follow our lead, do exactly what we guide them to do. But it does mean that, you know, the intentionality of the giving of the intention that is certainly, at least initially coming from me as the leader in the dance.
Yeah.
And that's only when I'm leading. And when I'm following, I feel absolutely surrendered, in bliss, totally mind is turned off. You know, these are sort of like the peak experiences as a follower in the dance.
Totally.
And I know you're just starting to really experience that, you know, coming back lesson over lesson. I think every time you have an experience where you get to rotate partners, for instance, in a dance. This is like, again, parallel to life, like dating lots of different people over a course of a period of time to bounce your energetic off of someone else's and see where it settles and lands and see how it interplays with others. Like that's a critical part of self-discovery, I feel personally.
Absolutely.
So I can say more, but I think I'll stop there just for the moment.
Well, and it has been so powerful to like experience it through Zouk, through the partner dancing, because again, it's like, okay, I can like understand and intellectualize the feminine and the masculine and like what it's like to trust his lead and, you know, all the things, right? All the kind of buzzy things that we hear in this space. And then it's a whole nother things to experience it, to like quite literally be in the dance, whether that's in the dance class that I'm participating in or in the dance with my own partner or my dance with God, right? Like it's a dynamic that then comes alive. And it's been fascinating for me, you know, learning, especially through Zouk, because I'm, you know, a follow, I'm learning the role of the follow, but I've really witnessed like, oh my goodness, where I have so many control mechanisms and so many patterns of not really being able to fully surrender. And it's interesting too, because, and this is what I always say around like relationship and co-creation with God, because I describe that as a dance as well, and kind of, you know, put God in the more lead role, like that divine, sacred, masculine role. But that doesn't mean as a follower, as the feminine, you're just then like limp spaghetti and you're just like being flung and spun around. Like there is, like Ginger said, there's a posture that you're maintaining, and there is an attentiveness and an openness and a really deep listening that's happening when you're in the dance. So I think this is too where people get confused to think like, okay, well, the masculine leads and the feminine just follows. And like, it becomes this like, you know, very almost like black and white thing for some people. And I think we get to remember there's so much nuance in this. And like, there is a posture that you're still maintaining when you're in that more feminine space of receiving and trusting the lead. It's not meaning, okay, you're just fully submitting and surrendering all power, all control. It's like, you're listening, you're tuning, you're bringing your sensational energy and experience into the dance itself so that there can be something to be co-created with, right? It's like that really beautiful harmony that really gets to happen within that space.
Yes. Yeah, deeply so. And so much so that you can't fake it, actually. That's the nice part about the physical practice of a partner dance, especially a highly polarized dance like Brazilian Zouk. You cannot fake it, because if you are in your head, you will actually probably hurt yourself as a follower. You're going to misinterpret something or, you know, step on someone or what have you. Like you will not be able to dance the dance if you have your mind still turned on in that way. And that's why it's such a beautiful practice ground. And believe me, oh my God, the first 2 years of Zouk, especially, I was coming from a ballroom background, salsa and bachata, like very structured, very flashy, very heady dances in a way. And it took me a very, very long time. I'm still working on it, obviously. I'm still unraveling, still unwinding. Just, it took me a long time to trust and to listen. And, you know, to go back to the original question, like, what does polarity mean to me? It's like, it is that inner dance of feeling that current of the different energy, whether it's like an initiatory energy or receptive sensing energy, feeling that inside of myself. And I think this is actually a nice segue into one of your prior questions around work, right? So I'm imagining that a lot of the women that are listening, you know, we're not necessarily full-time homemakers or, you know, funded, like having our lifestyles funded by a man, whether or not we have children right. with him, for instance.
Yep.
Which, you know, I think you can probably hear it in my voice. That's wonderful. Please do that. Like, yeah. Honestly, what a beautiful opportunity to be held and so cared for. And also to, you know, and the motherhood aspect, to bring, this is a touchy one for me because it's sort of an open wound gap for my own mother to me, but just the ability to bring like a deep, receptive, spacious softness and fierceness of an open heart to your children. So setting women aside who perhaps are in those categories for a moment, you know, anyone else who's listening, if you're working a job, chances are you're probably going to have to be in your mind here and there, right? Like,
absolutely.
If we're providing value for an archetypally masculine value structure and hierarchical, you know, business world, let's say, not a problem at all. In fact, like value is a beautiful thing. Hierarchy is also can also be a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it allows us to, you know, incentivize the best in all of us. And so, you know, when we're feeling ourselves. I think this is going to dovetail into a lot of actually different conversations. Cause it actually, it connects with the Oracle piece too.
I had a feeling so, it was yeah, going to, yeah, I was sensing that.
Fun. Okay. Well, here we are. So what's fun is that of course, you know, if we're moving towards integration, if that's our premise, right. If we feel that we are, you know, on this journey here as humans, as souls in these bodies, lovely little skin suits and avatars that carry us around. We are on these integration journeys towards wholeness. Yeah. And part of that means becoming in touch with the different aspects and facets of ourselves. So, of course, we get this, you know, cultural reinforcement around how important our mind aspect is. Right. And that's wonderful. That's not a bad thing. It's just that perhaps, you know, if you're here listening to this particular podcast, it's pretty much a guarantee that you're on the journey of rectifying the relationship to your own mind and having it sit in its proper hierarchy underneath your soul, underneath your womb, and actually having those two seated higher in terms of, you know, where you're actually sourcing from, where you're living your life from, and what you give more attention to. So, you know, in a work context, what would that mean? If my mind is subservient to my soul, to my womb, to my heart, to bring the heart into the picture as well, because that's obviously important, yeah. Then, you know, that would mean certain things about what work I choose to engage in or not. Yeah. It would also probably mean, especially if I'm like a deeply tapped in, receptive, feminine, womb-based woman, that I will probably not tolerate working for masculine leadership that is at all out of integrity. Like at all.
Yeah.
That's something I personally feel very strongly about. And I've had a journey with that as well. You know, yeah. Probably like most of us have.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in the context of, let's say, we're not going to go into this full conversation, but submission to strong masculine leadership as a gift, as a generative force, not as a sort of let me throw up my hands and become a doormat type thing, but yeah. I see your vision and I'm going to throw the weight of my womb behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a very different energetic.
Absolutely.
So if you are like moving through your career with that orientation, you're going to be choosing very intentionally what companies you work for, what causes you put your life force towards, what men you work alongside.
Yeah.
And I say men because, of course, you know, in the work world, let's be realistic, there will be many, many men that we work with over the course of our lives if we're working in the workforce. Many of them will be leading roles, departments, companies, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that's a piece where, you know, if we want to today, we can also talk about, you know, that aspect of masculine leadership as well, and the rebellion that we see against strong male leadership, even in the business world today. So maybe we'll table that. But that's sort of the orientation that I really have cultivated for myself. And I really can just, if I can share anything, it's like so important to work for and work with people generally that you respect, and that you have some sort of felt resonance with in your body.
Yeah.
And that is like the number one thing that I have to stress. It's got to feel right in your body. Then you can create pretty much anything with them. And then business and work becomes incredibly fun. It's incredibly generative. Yeah. And then of course you have more opportunities to bring your oracular self to the table, because guess what? Then people trust you and your intuition as well, because they feel the resonance with you.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's my small but mighty soapbox.
Yeah, I was going to say there is a lot in there, Ginger. And I'm glad that it went into like this conversation deeper into, the oracle and our oracular wisdom, because I think that this is what a lot, and this is probably the question I'm getting the most right now from my community, is like, okay, to be feminine means to like be open, to be receptive, but like also I'm not going to be a doormat, right? Like, right. And it's like, how do I really awaken and activate that deeper oracular power of my womb and the wisdom from that place to help give me the discernment of what I open to and choose to exchange with versus, you know, what I don't, and right. Like, you know, what I don't decide to fuse my essence and energy into, because perhaps it is out of alignment with my values and, you know, the way that I envision leadership and all the things. And this can become, really, really deep and nuanced for a lot of women. I think a lot of women are like at the stage too of even like trusting the womb and like really beginning to listen to that womb voice, because I think, I mean, myself included, I've been in the path of my womb for like, I don't know, the past 7 years, but it's like still, it's really deepening right now. I'm in like a chapter of really deepening into the primordial wisdom and like safety and all the things within that feminine core. And I think a lot of women listening are, newer to this journey of like even recognizing like, I have a womb, and like, there's a voice within that space. And there's a wisdom that I get to erect from that space. And I'd love to hear, Ginger, just like how you've come into deeper intimacy with that oracle, you know, within you, and really like, even any practices or tools or just experiences that you've had that have really helped you to deepen the relationship that you have with your womb and the heart, because they're divinely connected. But I feel like that real deep, you know, primordial piece of us, which is the womb space, like really how you've developed safety with that relationship and really even maybe have begun to like trust the voice and the power and like, the oracle, you know, of that space itself.
That's such a big question. And it's such an ongoing question for me personally. I think probably for everyone. I don't know if we ever reach this space where we're perfectly in deep trust all the time of our womb's wisdom, right? It's fascinating actually, because I have intuitively landed on some of my own movements and weavings and listenings and, let's say, practices, for lack of a better term, that are just very me. Like, they just arose out of my body, and it was more like, okay, well, here it is. Here I am on my knees crying. Yeah. Okay, great. I'm doing that now. and not actually intellectualizing anything about it whatsoever. It doesn't have to have a purpose, a time, any rhyme or reason. It just is what's arising in the moment. And so that is what I'm being with. Like that has been a large part of it for me, honestly. Now I would actually be remiss in not mentioning our dear mentor, co-sister, you know, yeah, all of the things, Christina Louise, whom I know, yeah, you know, personally as well. She's her Instagram handle is at solar.feminine.arts. She's a dear, dear sister of mine, also fantastic facilitator in sort of more guided visualizations, of which like I find them also extremely helpful. So it's sort of this mix in my embodied experience of there are these times when something arises in the moment and all my job is to just be with it and let it flow through my body, however it's coming. That is it. There are no other guidelines than that. It's going to take as long as it takes. I will talk about grief probably today because that's very alive in my world as well. Yeah. Maybe we'll be less alive by the time this podcast airs. We shall see.
Yeah.
Nonlinear. But then there's also these practices where I know for myself, and this is a little bit more in the structure side of life, that if I don't have alone time once or twice a week, and I'm an extrovert, so I actually don't need quite as much alone time as others might. But if I don't have that for myself, like deep, quiet, probably like literally in the dark, maybe one candle's lit, maybe it's a bath, it's dark, it is like, it's its own little womb around me. Like I need that to clear my space. I need it to clear my field, to clear my body.
Yeah.
And that's something that it's, you know, if I were living from my mind or living from a place of, oh, I need to be at this event at this time with these people all the time, then I wouldn't actually be giving that to myself. And I wouldn't be able to hear her when she, like the deepest primordial feminine womb voice, speaks. Like I wouldn't have space or time or quiet to hear her. And I say she, because for me anyway, and maybe it's the same for you, I'm actually really curious. The voice that arises in my body is a very different voice than the top-down, mind-based chatter voice that runs in the background all day at all times, unless I'm dancing, in flow state, having sex, meditating, etc.
Yeah.
Like it's an entirely different voice. It's so much deeper. It is literally like geographically lower. It's coming from somewhere down here. It's not from up here in my mind.
Yeah.
And often it's not even word-based. Again, it's not language-based. That's what makes it really tricky to talk about it on a podcast or share it with a listener, because it is actually a direct transmission. And that's the piece where, you know, if you have folks listening, the ladies listening are just sort of getting into this world, there might be some fear around like, oh, like, what is this? Like, what is this thing that's coming alive in me that's telling me these things? And where am I getting this information? And does this mean I'm psychic? And am I like, la, 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 like all these labels will start kind of dropping into the space. But all of that can really be swept aside. It's not important. It's just external labels.
Mm.
When you're actually being with the thing itself that's arising in you, like you will feel it. It feels like a sort of like a clunk. Like when truth lands in your body, it just has a weight to it. You will feel it.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself will tell you, ah, okay, this is a different voice. It's coming from someplace that, you know, perhaps begs a little bit more attention than my mind. So,
I really appreciate how you just expressed that, because, and you kind of took me down like a little path where I was more in, well, for my body, but also my mind, like kind of sinking, like awakening, right? The oracular power of the womb. And what I really heard was, and this is a huge part of my journey and in the work that I now do with women, is really becoming comfortable in the uncomfortable, like really getting more intimate with feelings and emotions and really learning how to harness those things in the body and really allowing yourself to to be in the embodiment of what's actually moving through and not dismissing or stuffing down or suppressing or bypassing or dissociating from them. Like, I love that the word presence keeps coming in, because to me, that really is what the feminine requires, is deep, deep, deep presence. And it's funny, Christine and I were actually talking yesterday about this, because often we think like, oh, presence is like so masculine, like that undivided, right? Like attentive presence, but presence is such a feminine, such a feminine quality, right? And presencing is such a piece of like our feminine expression. Like, we have to be present to be in a space of listening. And, you know, part of that presencing is being present with the language of the body, which is sensation, which is feeling, which is emotion. And I have something I want to touch on and ask you about that. So I'm going to like go back to that in just a second. But then what I heard too is again, this slowing down, this softening, this really allowing yourself to be comfortable in the void, like in the space, in the quiet, in the stillness. And for me, for sure, this was really hard, because I am also very extroverted, and my most of my life was a full social calendar, and like always doing and having social events and being around other people. Like, I didn't, and I grew up with siblings, so I was like always surrounded by other energies. Although as a child, I noticed where I really took a lot of alone time. Like, even in my closet, I would like be alone and shut myself in my closet quite a bit. And I think that was the part of me that knew like, I need to be released of all other energies and like really just be with me and God right now. Like, I need to,
That resonates so deeply with me. Yeah.
I need to 100%. Have space, or like out in the woods by myself. But it really has only been in like the last 7 years that I really began to like appreciate the time alone and like really understanding how medicinal that is, because it's really only in that space where we are, you know, in that stillness that we receive, I feel, truth. Like, it can really only arrive in the space that we allow there to be space. You know, it can't come in when we're so flooded with all of the things. So I just love that you really spoke to that, because to me, that truly is how we start the practice of descension and really going down and into the body. And I know that you're navigating right now a big journey with grief and, you know, really moving through that. And, you know, you've been a woman, I feel, Ginger, that's very practiced and attuned with her emotional landscape. But I think a lot of women are afraid to feel and like go deep into emotions because they're afraid they're going to spiral or collapse into them. And I would love to hear any of your wisdom on like how to navigate this space without falling into collapse, right? Mm. Or right. And like falling into that space of then even like victimhood or like the more chaotic spiral that can happen, which we know is also innately and beautifully feminine, but like, how to hold ourselves, right? So that we're not in a state of collapse and we're really maintaining a state of presence. Hmm.
So much there. Okay.
I know I'm asking you all the big questions today.
It's wonderful. This is the kind of conversation I live for. So thank you. I am like the opposite of bored right now. It's wonderful. what I'm feeling is, this actually pinged right when you sort of made the distinction between masculine presence and really this feminine quality of presence. I want to speak to that first.
Yeah, please do.
I feel it's, yeah. So masculine presence is probably what we're a little more used to in the sense that it might make us feel like we're under a microscope. It's very pointed. It's very condensed. Concentrated presence. It's acute. It is piercing. It's like a gaze, like a hawk. That's sort of the masculine archetypal presence. In one way, you could also, you know, speak about it in many ways. When I feel my own presence in my womb, it's nothing like that. It's incredibly diffuse. It's this wide open, like, oh, the word hum just came to me. It's like this wide open humming, but I'm listening as the humming is humming.
Yeah. And I'm that.
Do you know what I mean? I just got chills on my thighs. So we're probably in good territory here.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I always like to listen to like when the tingles start to happen. So That's more of the feminine presence. It's this sensation that we get when we're in the presence of someone who can listen to us for hours and hours and hours. We can pour our hearts out to them and they have all the space in the world for us to receive us. Anything we say, not a problem for them. They can totally handle it. We feel safe. We feel received. It's that spaciousness. It's that presence, actually. So maybe spaciousness is a better word, but let's say presence, in the feminine sense that I'm speaking to when I say I bring that to myself or I cultivate that for myself. And guess who helps me with that? God. Cause it's like, yes. I'm a limited being. I mean, my energetic field is pretty darn limitless. My soul is definitely limitless. I mean, we're a little bit, you know, in the human experience at the moment, but realistically, like what I lean back into is the ground of all being.
Yes.
I cannot fall through it. There's nothing below it. Like you can't fall through the ground of all being.
Yeah.
It's always got you.
Yeah.
End of story and beginning of story, but that's the whole point. It's all of it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that for me, that is part of how I experience God, as this like supportive web that always has me. And that's a little depersonalized. I also have more of a personal relationship with like the father aspect of God as well.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. So where was I going with all of this? Remind me, pull me back. Presence. Yes.
Yeah.
And collapse.
And then collapse. Yeah.
Sure. And grief. Right. So, so I want to share something that's like just very ripe and real in my experience. So my father died at the very beginning of September and we're recording this, like about a week into November.
Yeah.
And so in my experience, like the big grief, I kind of label it like big grief. That was really the month of September. It was very, very dark, very heavy. I couldn't sleep well, was crying most nights and just, you know, going through the waves of it and still working full time and all the other life things that were happening.
Yeah.
So what happened just a couple nights ago, and I want to share this because I really feel it's so important for women to understand, like to really feel, not just understand, to feel this like deep acceptance and just this like relaxing, this loosening of any sense that it has to be other than that which it is in the emotional body. So I had this sensation. I was at a Zouk social. I was getting very tired so super early on. It's not normal for me. It was like 8:30 or 9 p.m. and I was tired already. That's not normal for me. My body was saying, you've got to stop. Like you've got to, you've got to like lie down on the couch and just like cuddle with your man for a moment at this social. So I did that. And then I wanted to just keep dancing, but it wasn't true anymore. And so I went home and I thought it was just tiredness. So I gave my body what it was asking for. I laid down in bed and I was proceeding to, you know, attempt to fall asleep as one does. And I couldn't. And my system had this static energy in it. And it was both tired and staticky at the same time. Like not tense, but not clear. And I was just so, you know, speaking of this, how can we have more grace for ourselves at these sorts of points? Like, you know, at that particular time, I didn't know what was wrong yet. I just knew that there was something off. And later my man came home and he held me and I thought that was, you know, I felt in my body, oh, okay, that's like a balm. I feel better now. And then he rolled over and went to sleep. And then I was like, oh no, we are not done yet. Like we are not done.
Been there. Yeah.
we're not done here. Like, the body has more for me to be with right now. And then the grief came. Then the grief came. And it was like, I was back in the first week of September. And all there was to do was cry it out and be with the breath and literally just wait for it to flow through me. Like there's no stopping it. There's nothing to do. I was just honestly relieved to finally get to the core of the sensation, which was deep, deep sadness. Because I that sort of static energy for me, it's just a signal that there's something happening that is not being touched into and I need to just wait and be with it. So that I just share that in case there's anybody out there listening who's like, oh my God, how do I do this? This is so intense. I'm not doing this right. when will this be over? It's like, okay, sweep all of that aside.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. And it's all right, even when it's not all right, even when it's excruciating, like really deeply not fun, like not fun. Let me tell you, not fun.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, I think that's a good segue into the collapse conversation, and probably also, you know, what we chatted about just before hopping on is this thing that I wrote about that took off on Instagram anyway, which is all about sort of the energetic difference between devotional yearning and codependent yearning.
Yes.
And like the conversation around collapse and what feminine chaos can sometimes sort of whip us into or pull us down into the swamp of collapse. Like that's a hefty energetic.
Yeah, it is. So. I was in it not too long ago, like last week.
So, exactly. Like it's a sticky one. It's the same thing. And so I have another teacher that, again, I'd be remiss in not mentioning. Her name is Perry Chase. And she's also on Instagram, Perri.Chase. And she's all about energetic mastery. And one of the things that she shares is, you know, you might get to the point where you recognize that there's a roller coaster ride that you're about to get on, and you still don't have sovereign choice in your body or in your body's experience to stop yourself from getting on the ride. But at least you know, hey, there's this roller coaster. I'm totally stepping on and buckling my seatbelt.
Yeah.
And then you're just on for the ride, and then you go up and you go down and you go around and around, and then eventually you get off the ride and you're like, wow, that is a thing that I just did. Yeah. I just went on it. And that's the same with like a collapse, for instance. Sometimes we know.
Oh, like, totally.
We really know
when
it's coming, and there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Yeah.
Nothing. And that has to do with a number of factors. It has to do with how resourced are we in that moment? Have we slept? Have we been held lately? Are we well fed? Have we seen the sunlight? Are we feeling, you know, hormonally balanced, etc.? Like that's a big factor.
Huge.
And then it also has to do with like past experiences, trauma, etc., right? All the big things. So what I want to share is, you know, when a big emotion or let's say an experience like this energetic whirlpool of collapse is starting to happen, just because we go into it doesn't make us bad and wrong and like failures at being mature, feminine, integrated, whole, absolutely beautiful beings. Like, so
yes,
we can have compassion for ourselves on that front. I really, really do feel that. And I have that for myself too. You know, I might not have it in the moment, but I return to it pretty quickly thereafter, to the compassion for myself. I feel like I'll pause for a moment. I feel like that was a lot, but what are you feeling?
So much in all of that. And I really love the roller coaster analogy. And this conversation around collapse is like really fresh for me because I've been in a really big relational initiation with my partner, and I met an experience in a rather big moment of collapse that I hadn't experienced in a very long time. And I love that you just brought up like the resourcing part, Ginger, because I'm like, yeah, like I had like, right, hadn't been held for a while, like hormonal, hadn't seen sunlight, like, you know, probably was not sleeping good, not well nourished, like, right, like all of the factors that are kind of then creating the conditions for the collapse to happen. And because I'm so anchored in, you know, my emotions and feelings in my body, I was so aware of when I was on the brink, when I was stepping on that roller coaster ride, and when I was just like buckling up and basically being like, you know, okay, God, let's take the wheel. I'm here. and also to know in that moment, you know, not my proudest moment, but I also did have so much grace and compassion for myself, you know, after moving through it and just understanding that like, this is a human moment in time that like my feminine actually has to experience right now to really deepen into the texture of some of these wounds and some of these triggers and the activation that's alive, and not make myself wrong that my response right now in this moment is this way. You know, it's part of it. It's part of getting through it. And I think too, One of the biggest things that does help me when I'm meeting these really big moments and meeting these big emotions, and I kind of heard this, not that you directly stated this, Ginger, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is what I was feeling when I was receiving that, is like ultimately to like feeling held again in that bigger container of God. And for me,
exactly,
that's really where I'm, when I'm moving through big, big, big things, I feel I can handle it so much better because of my very personal relationship that I have with God in my life, you know, especially mine being, you know, through that Father and really through Christ, to like be that sacred masculine, to be my ultimate holder and protector and like provider, yes, and the one who's like really with me and alongside me, like wrapping me up quite literally in the arms of grace when I'm meeting these really hard and heavy moments. And that has really shifted a lot for me, to feel like I'm not going to lose control or like get swept into chaos, because, you know, I'm in this frame of God itself. I'm literally, you know, being rested as a daughter in this frame with God, especially that more masculine face of God, who is going to be there and cherish me no matter what and help me re-anchor back into my beloved identity, you know, which again is like, I think, a journey and a practice that we're all in, of like this deeper remembrance of how whole and worthy and belonging we always are. Like, that isn't circumstantial. Like, that's not like, oh, she collapsed, she's out of the kingdom, like, oh, we got to kick her out, right? It's like, no, it's like the wholeness of you gets to exist and that all gets to belong. And for me, this was really a journey of, yeah, learning how to hold myself and be held, like be held. And I love that you even brought up like the masculine presence of your partner, of like also being part of that safe space for you to open, you know, maybe to the fullness of some of that emotion that was arising, right?
Definitely. Definitely. And there have been many times in my life, and I feel like this is also important, where I haven't had that presence of a man, or frankly, in especially in the past, we talked about this on our hike, where I felt incredibly alone, not connected to God. And I actually feel like, for instance, there have been times, even I can think of like maybe about 3 years ago or so, where I was really actually swept into the full expression of the chaos and the swamp, let's say. Like, sometimes swamp resonates more for me than chaos. It's like real, it's, you know, murky, it's deep, it's gonna suck you down. Yeah. And it's that, and it's, and that's also an incredibly feminine energetic archetypally. I don't resist that though. That's the other thing I want to say, is like, where I know, some women that I've worked with in the past, myself in the past, where we sometimes still resist our nature, is we don't even allow ourselves to fully be swept into the chaos because we are still holding on to some sort of semblance of control. And therefore our systems never get to experience the actual trust that lies in the surrender that actually lies on the other side of abandon, on the other side of like, oh no, no, no. Like, maybe actually God doesn't have me. Like, I don't know. I'm just fully in the swamp right now. I'm totally blown out right now, or what have you. And then, you know, if you actually go like full on into the void and then actually get to return from that place, the level of trust that you have in your system is just fundamentally altered. You're not going to, you're fine. Then it's like, all right, cool. My system can go anywhere. I can feel the biggest and most sensational sensations, and I know that I am going to be okay. And that's because I've touched into them, not avoided them. I think that's actually really important too.
Oh, so important. And I love that you just brought in, it reminded me of an embodiment practice that I do and I teach, where I almost encourage my women to, and myself, to give themselves to the chaos, to essentially submit to the chaos.
Submit to the chaos. That is a practice. That is a phase.
Yeah.
We don't want to get stuck there.
Exactly.
So here's where we get into the divine feminine rage movement and goddess cultures, where sensation is sensationalized and pedestalized over all other things.
Totally.
That is not what we are talking about. No. So we don't want to get stuck there.
Yes.
You can see that, actually. You can see it on Instagram all over the place. People are stuck and they're looping in the sort of, they're feeding off of the sensation of their own sensation. And I mean, it's a phase in the journey too. And it's like,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it is, though. It's like this, you know, we have to kind of go over the edge to know what the edge is like and be willing to get, uncomfortable and be in that fertile unknown and that, you know, divine mystery sometimes. And, you know, I even remember this in 2017, 2018, which was like my own personal void and dark night of the soul. And I was beginning to open a connection and personal relationship with God then, but it was still more almost like the first way you described it, like that void of God, like kind of like sensing the diffuse, like bigness of it, but not fully personalized. But in that time, I was navigating some of the hardest and heaviest emotions of my life. And I'm so grateful for that chapter because I really navigated that darkness and I got to the other side. And so much while I was in it, I mean, there was a lot of spiral and there was so much unknown and there was fear and there was doubt and there was uncertainty and there was challenge even getting out of bed. Like it was so dark and so deep. I'd never experienced that essence and flavor of myself in my life. And it was scary because it felt like a totally different identity that I had never known in touch, but because I didn't turn away from it and try to bypass it or, you know, shape it to be a different thing. I really just went into it. The expansion that happened on the other side of that was extremely powerful. I mean, it's so much of why I am the woman I am today and why I can sit in my own dark and also meet other women to these depths and not be afraid because, it's like you've been able to touch it yourself. Like you haven't tried to escape or control or force it to be a certain way. So I think that this is just such a powerful remembrance for women that you're so held in it and really in the full feeling of it is the way through and like not getting lost in it, but really finding your anchor of that deeper primordial place in the womb and your inner safety can really actually be deeply cultivated in this place if you're willing to find that anchor in yourself and hold yourself through the process with grace and compassion and love.
Yes. Yeah. And it helps to know the terrain as well. Like to know the map of, for instance, what you just referenced, you know, several years ago, you had this massive contraction and what happens next? Well, if you actually go cleanly into and through a contraction, then you're going to have a really clean, big expansion on the other side. Like, and that's just energetic truth. It's the energetic law. It's a pattern. It happens over and over and over again in life. We have these phases, these seasons of contraction, expansion, ebb and flow, light and dark. So it's like, that's, you know, maybe it's a moot point. Maybe everybody listening already knows this and like, you know, has a personal relationship with it.
Reminder. I don't think so. I think it's like a really powerful, really powerful reminder. And I feel like too, it's in that space. I don't know. In that space too, I remember this was probably the first time in my life. And you kind of touched on yearning and desire, but I feel like too, it was in that chapter that I started to become more intimate with my own inner yearnings and desires and like really starting to feel more of, I guess, the energy of Eros, of like that kind of erotic expression of like that deeper womb space of like what I really want, but not letting it be a codependent or even like you know, at the time I was still kind of stepping out of like the manifestation space and all of like the hacks to get what I want, and like so not not being in that transactional space with yearning and desire, but really being in like the pure hearted Eros of desire and yearning itself. And I feel like I really like how you describe this, Ginger, and like describe the energy and essence. And even like, I think yearning is also an edge for women. I think it's it's like it's something that a lot of women are actually uncomfortable with, really getting intimate with what do I actually truly want? What do I desire? And how can I feel this, but not let it consume me or not place pressure upon it or not try to control it? Mm-hmm. So just anything you want to bring into that, I would love to hear to kind of like encapsulate the conversation. Cause I feel like that's a really juicy piece.
Oh, yes. I'm laughing because when you are at the edge of your yearning, it is always scary. It never ends. Like, there is never a place that you get to where you are done yearning.
Yeah.
So it just made me laugh because when you're like, well, yeah, some women are afraid of your, it's like, yeah, no kidding. Me too. Like, yeah. I don't, you know, if I'm not afraid of what I'm yearning for, then it's probably not the true thing that I'm yearning for. That's a pretty good indicator for starters. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what do I want to say about yearning? Oof. Okay. Well, so first of all, just to return to the broader, deeper polarity discussion, we are built to yearn. With the feminine, you know, again, back to the physiology, we are built with a literal void inside of our bodies that is to be filled. That is its dharma. That is its purpose. It is to be filled. And so, of course, the feminine is constantly yearning for fullness. And what is the masculine yearning for? Emptiness. To release himself. Yeah. To be done. Actually, death is a thing. To be complete, let's say. Right? Yeah. So it's not like we're ever, ever, ever going to be able to escape or complete our yearning. Because, I mean, at that point, we just wouldn't be in existence anymore. Yeah. So I just share all of that. Just to, you know, bring a little bit of lightheartedness to what is really an intense current of energy. To your point, I mean, Eros, like life force, it's an actual pulse that moves through you. You do not have control over it. It lifes you. It tells you what you want. You just are in complete submission to it. It's like, all right, well, I have no choice here.
Yeah.
Like that's true. That is the truth of it.
Absolutely.
And I share that also because you said the thing about coming from the manifestation community is like, okay, anything that you're desiring to manifest, like that is not yearning. I'm sorry, guys. Like,
yeah,
y'all are on the wrong track. I'm going to call it out. It's like,
that's
a different energy. You're doing a thing over there and that's okay.
Yeah.
You let me know when you're done and we can talk about real yearning.
Yeah, totally. Cause it's radically different. And it's, I think,
texturally incredibly distinct.
Yeah.
It's just different. There's nothing that overlaps at all. It's so funny. I just noticed my body got all like, it like sat up straight and got all excited. So here we are. Clearly I'm excited to talk about yearning. What should we talk about? What do you want to talk about yearning? Mm. I just get excited.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things you said is really powerful because, you know, as the feminine too, I think we get to really understand that fullness is like so much of what we are designed to live in. And like, you know, that it's okay that our yearning is always going to be living in the essence of more. Like, you know, I think for a long time I made that wrong. Right. And like,
no more, Nina.
I know. I know this was a huge edge for me to be like, oh my gosh, I'm always going to want more. And like, and that's okay. Right. Like that's okay. That's beautiful. But, and I think you have a really lovely, Ginger, I think the first time I actually found you, I downloaded, I think you have a guided practice for yearning. Do you?
I do.
I bought that. That's when I first found you.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's the thing. We were talking about this. Like we couldn't remember how we connected.
It just that came through. That's how I first.
Oh my gosh. You listened to my guided visualization on embodying your feminine yearning. Oh,
it's beautiful. God. And it was so beautiful.
What?
In this. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. I'm so happy.
Yes. That was it. Okay. No wonder this was like, has been so alive in the field when I'm connected.
That's so funny. Okay. Perfect. Great. Because
I've experienced your practice in this and it was gorgeous. And it like really helped me to go down deeper into the dissension of my own yearning. But I think, yeah, just like, what would you encourage, you know, maybe a woman to explore, to just feel, you know, safe in her yearning, in the desire, and, you know, and maybe how to meet it in a way and channel the energy so that then it doesn't transmute into a feeling, I'm speaking for myself here, into pressure or forcing, you know, and I've shared
grasping.
And I've shared this publicly, Christine, and I had a big conversation on this. You know, one of my deepest yearnings right now is the yearning to be pregnant and like to have a baby. And
but, I want this for you.
Oh, me too. So bad. But I've also allowed, you know, some of my fears to come into that yearning and then place pressure around it and, you know, pressure on myself, pressure to my partner, like then
Sure.
making it be not really in the energetic of Eros, but being in more of like a mind-based energetic. So like really holding and containing the yearning in the body and really like submitting and giving
Yes.
yourself to the yearning and not letting then maybe the mind come over and try to put pressure on it and almost take it out of the essence of what it's really meant to be. You know,
Yes.
I don't know if that's a question, but anything that
I think you just
that,
answered the question perfectly. So clearly you listened to my visualization.
I did it a number of times. I mean, I maybe even going to do it tonight again. Like it's a great
Beautiful.
One.
Yeah. And that's linked in my bio. If people want to find that, that's on Instagram. So we can talk about that later. So everybody has it, but, so I really just so appreciate how you articulated that last piece of, okay, I have the sensation. It is very alive in my body. Like, whoa, like it's big. It is pulsing. It has a life of its own. What is happening? Like, it's sort of that sensation. Could be super, super intense on a number of spectrums. It could feel like fire. It could feel like pressure. It could feel like electricity in the body. It could feel any of these different ways.
Yeah.
But then there's, maybe you feel it slightly differently, but then there's this, I feel it behind kind of my heart and sternum where there's like this gravity somehow where the pulse itself like literally feels like it's pulsing right out through my heart. And it's just like wanting and like, boom, it's like this like heartbeat of yearn.
Yeah.
And it's just pulsing. It's just there. Yeah. And then, you know, especially if you bring the motherhood conversation into it, I imagine that your womb literally like physically in you, like has its own pulse for that particular yearning as well.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to hold. So I think like feeling safe, that was sort of the crux of your question. How can women feel safer with that yearning? It's part of it. I would actually, I don't even know if safety is necessary.
Mm.
Because like, okay. Ultimately, when you feel that, like the question of safe versus not safe is erased because it is. It's this life force energy that's arising in you and you can trust it. So I feel it's actually more of a question about trust than about safety.
Yeah, I love that.
Like it may not actually be safe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably going to cause some ego death, like you becoming a mother. Mm. Like it's probably not safe for a lot of you, for instance. But that doesn't matter. It's more of like, do you trust it or not?
Yeah. I love that. The trust. That's like a really powerful piece to bring in and bring through, because I think a lot of women, do start to attach it to then having to feel safe with it in the body. But I really love this inquiry of like, it's not about that. It's about, can I trust this? And can I also, you know, then for me, that kind of goes to, can I entrust God with this yearning, right? It's like,
Where else do you think something like that comes from? Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from inside of you necessarily.
Right.
It doesn't just spring forth randomly. It's like, that's we keep using this word, but it's such a good word. It's like, that's the primordial pulse of like the universal expansion and creative generative vibe that is going to pulse through you. If you are an open vessel, it's just going to happen. Like there's not really any escaping it, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And just being deeper co-creation with the pulse itself is, I feel, really our role as the feminine, right?
100%. That is literally our role. Like literally, you can't get more blueprinted than that.
Yeah.
And it's so potent. I mean, I just on a personal note, I just want to like hold your specific yearning in so much honor and reverence. I feel such a deep, like, yes, reverence to it. And that's that sensation of like, oh wow, there's something here that is so sacred. I have to pay attention to it. Like that's the difference. That's when you know you're onto something with your yearning.
Mm.
It's very different from I want to manifest X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Do you hear, like, you can hear the difference.
Absolutely. There. Yeah. Oh, and Ginger, that might have to be like another part two of a conversation, because I feel we could like go down a whole rabbit hole, because yeah, I think a lot of women, I don't know necessarily in this space, I feel like a lot of the women that are listening have like really left a lot of the transactional, more manifestation kind of space, but I think carry the residue of that. And now this deeper energy of yearning and longing and how that gets to be expressed, but it is a totally and completely different pulse and different energy. And this is where, for me in my journey, this like real co-creative partnership with God has been so powerful, because there's like no more essence of self-sourcing. It's truly like co-authorship and divine co-creation and collaboration. Yeah. Mm.
Oh. Yeah. I feel that deeply as well. And I feel like there's still an element, like, okay, let's put it this way. There's still an element where if you have an idea and it does come from your mind, that's not a bad thing, especially in the right context. Like, I don't think either of us are here to like decry intellectual ideas whatsoever. Like, please continue totally having them. Like,
yeah,
we so need them. Yeah. It's just, we're speaking to a different space that's a little bit less frequently discussed in public, right? Yeah. Like, how often do you have conversations with strangers around intuitive impulses? You usually don't, because it's considered strange, right? And so it's like, but once we actually start to realize that most of us actually have this inclination, at absolutely, the very least, if not like full-blown receptivity to, you know, say divine insights,
yeah,
right, as like the grail, it becomes a little less scary to talk about it. And I do hope that that's one of the things that can come out of the ripple effects of you and I having this conversation today.
Yes.
Yeah, I really, really do hope.
I think for sure it will. And I think really this conversation has like created such a beautiful opening for, I mean, we touched on so many different things and I could talk to you for hours, Ginger. And I mean, I'm excited, because I know that I think in this next year, there's going to be some really beautiful co-creative partnerships that are going to come alive. I mean, I have womb-based ideas of where I want to bring you into my community in deeper ways. So I'm just so excited that this community, you know, had exposure to you through this conversation, because it has been so powerful and pulsing and potent. And I would love, Ginger, for you to share, yeah, like where the women listening can find you, where they can connect with you, how they can access that yearning meditation and visualization, because it is really powerful. Just anything that you have alive that you want to share with our community. And all of this is linked below for you that are listening. You can receive all this, but yeah, for you to share it here.
Yeah, totally. Thank you. I appreciate that. First, I just want to thank you for inviting me. It's so fun to, you know, speaking of manifestation, being that, you know, in the human design sense, you and I are both manifestors. We do actually need to initiate things.
Yes.
I'm most happy to receive any invitations from you in the future. But yeah, as far as where people can find my work, particularly women, I do mostly write for an audience of women, and that's on Instagram. My handle is at mythic.feminine. It's mythic.feminine. And yeah, I would say, you know, on there, there's a little link in my bio, and there's basically two ways to start getting into work with me. One is, of course, exactly what you mentioned, Nina. It's this 20-25 minute guided visualization on embodying your feminine yearning, something that you can listen to over and over again. I think it's like $20 or $22 or something. Yeah, super accessible. Yeah, and it's just me, it's my voice, and that's just a really good entry point, really easy. Yeah, and then the other way is through one-on-one work, which I'm pretty selective about, but there also is a sort of application there in my bio as well. So otherwise, I write. I do. Thank you. Yeah. So I'll keep that up, and I'm sure I'll be back on your podcast or at some of the events that you run this coming year.
Oh, you will. There is, I know I haven't exposed all the details to this community yet, but there is, by the time this airs, a couple things will have erupted and have been announced. But yeah, there's some really
Erupted. Ooh,
erupted
what kind
into
of
the
energy are you
field.
playing?
Oh my, definitely a lot of collaborative and co-creative things, because that's the backbone. And I mean, this podcast is, I wouldn't say separate from Way of Grace, but the pulse of Way of Grace is really through this podcast. And when I really sat down to rebirth my community again, what laid at the foundation as the values were connection, collaboration, co-creation, and community. It's like those things have just never changed. And that's why I'm so grateful for women like you and saying yes to these conversations and being willing to co-create in this way, because I know that you feel too, Ginger, like just the ripple effect of coming together as women and collaborating and having these really rich and nourishing conversations. And, for all of you heartbeats listening and receiving, like you're a part of that. Like you're also part of this ripple effect, this tapestry, right back to the beginning of what we talked about, the fabric that we're
Absolutely.
weaving together. So, it's really my greatest joy to be of service to that in some way. So I'm just so grateful that, you've said yes to be here and for our communities to receive what I know is going to be a really expansive conversation for them.
Agreed. It's really an honor, and I really do mean that. And it's a pleasure to co-weave with you, and that womb space. That sort of amplifier effect, it's just
Yes.
getting bigger. So again, like all of, I love how
It's
you phrase that. All of you heartbeats listening, all you wombs,
yes, the
the wombs that are listening.
womb.
It's just been such a pleasure, and I so look forward to next time. So thank you.
It's coming soon. And yes, just thank you all for receiving, and we'll see you next time on the Rising Feminine Collective podcast.